typically turn to a portion of scripture that describes how the Lord established this table that we're about, but today the Lord is directing me to read from Ephesians chapter 1, because the reason we're here and partaking, Christ said, "This do in remembrance of me." You can't remember somebody you don't know. But when you consider by His Spirit who He is, what He's done, and why He did it, and what it took, that's really what these two emblems represent. There are some religious organizations that call these sacraments, which means sacred elements. They consider these actual elements to be holy, so that in partaking, they really believe in partaking of Christ. But we understand these to be elements. We understand this to be an ordinance that Christ gave to us, His chosen, redeemed ones, to remember Him. It's like a picture. There's no life in the picture. We've got picture albums of people that have come and we've known and died, and we see the pictures, we remember them, but there's no life in them. You can't talk to them. They can't talk back. There's no life in this bread. There's no life in the cup. But it's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. The bread representing, it's unleavened. That's why it's so thin. There's no yeast in it. And roast with fire, it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We had no sin. And yet was sown in this ground, just like wheat. When it grew up, it was cut down, it was run through the mill, and what it produced was flour, which then becomes bread. And it represents who Christ is in His coming, doing, and dying. And so we remember, that's who we remember. Also with a cup, it required His shed blood. So one element cannot be without the other. Took Christ coming in a body and working out that perfect salvation in a body. A body has not prepared for me. So when we partake of this, we remember Him who came, who's eternal God, yet took on flesh for one reason: save sinners such as we are. And then the cup, the shedding of the blood. And that's why the Lord directed my attention to Ephesians 1, because it's in this manner God has purposed to show His grace towards sinners in His Son. That's why Paul wrote there in Ephesians 1, "Grace be to you and peace." How could that ever be spoken just to anybody generally? This is the Lord's table. It's for His people. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and even from the Lord Jesus Christ. What Christ did was in conformity with the Father's will. What the Father's purpose was in conformity with the Son. So He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." It's not that just God's passing out blessings, but everything is in Christ. So when we do this in remembrance of Christ, that's where it begins, all the way back in God's purpose and will to save sinners such as we are. And it says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him." He was the first elect. And in Him, then, those that God has chosen are chosen before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself. When it says that we should be holy and without blame before Him, a lot of people read that and think, okay, I better straighten up, because this is what Christ did, so I got to behave myself. That's not how we're made holy and without blame. We're made holy and without blame in Christ, in that perfection of His work and His satisfaction of the holy God on behalf of sinners such as we are. So when it says, "Remember me," don't you dare put this in your mouth. Don't you dare drink this cup without remembering Him and how we need the Lord's grace. We wouldn't be fussing about how it tastes. Oh, that's not what it's about. It's about Him, but you can only remember Him if He's been pleased to have been revealed in you, and to see Him as that substitute that God purposed even before time. Gave His Son And you think about it, he purposed to honor his son in giving him what? Sinners. That's how he honored his son. That's for that which he came. So then we should be, how? By his death, by his righteous life and death, without blame before him. And people argue, they say, well, I don't see any love in God predestinating some and passing by others. Well, it says here, right here in my Bible, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated. The fact that he would predestinate even one sinner, it wouldn't require one bit of bloodshed more or less than what Christ has shed, but it was in love that he shed that blood, having predestined us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. When does a child become officially adopted? I've got two adopted children. It's when that judge gives the order that these now, it's a solemn thing for that judge to put his stamp and say, these children are now your children. When did that occur? Well, God purposed in eternity, but it occurred when the debt was paid. Because anybody that's gone to court, you have to pay whatever the court fees are in order for those children to become yours. Those children didn't do it. They're totally unaware that all this is being done on their behalf. And that's the way it is with us. We just find out about it. It's not when we believe that now all of a sudden we're adopted. No. This adoption, this predestinating, all of this took place outside of ourselves, on our behalf, through one mediator, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says there in verse 5, according to the good pleasure of his will. Not our will. It doesn't say according to the good pleasure of your will, according to the good pleasure of his will. So when we partake here and we remember him, this is what we're remembering. That our adoption is in him, our predestination is in him, our salvation is in him. And it says there in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of what? His grace. We're remembering his grace. This is not something that adds to our salvation, that somehow better for partaking or drinking this cup. You could take and put bread on the lips of a dead man. It's not going to help you. You can pour this down a dead man's throat. It's not. There's no life in this. The life is in the one that this represents. And so as we partake, we think of God's grace. What grace that he would purpose that sinners such as we are should be saved. It says, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. I don't know how you can mess up that statement, but people do all the time. That's because I decided for Jesus, and now he has accepted me. Go back and read the word simply again. Wherein he, that is God Almighty, God the Father, hath made us, those sinners that he's chosen and for whom Christ paid the debt, accepted. Doesn't mean just acceptable. I've told you that before. If a teacher wrote on your paper, well, it's acceptable, you're going to say, well, what's wrong? You like that A+, you like that perfect. Well, there's nothing perfect from us, but this is God declaring perfect those that he's purposed to save, but where? In the beloved. That's Christ, the beloved of God the Father. It says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption through his blood. When were sinners redeemed that God has redeemed? When that blood was shed. God purposed it from eternity, but it required the shedding of blood. There was no satisfaction until that blood was shed. But that blood being shed, what's the next? The forgiveness of sins. But all according to the riches of his grace. As we partake, let's remember him. Not only the body that came and worked out this salvation, but the bloodshed. Without the shedding blood, there is no remission of sins. But you can put that positively. Where there has been that shedding of blood, there is forgiveness of sins. It's only this flesh that cause us ever to doubt and to think that somehow, well, I wonder if God can accept me because I don't know if I'm worthy or not. None of us are worthy. But to be made accepted in the beloved, what a grace. that's what we remember from Christ. Gracious Father, as we partake of these elements that you have left us as a testimony to your Son, pray that it might be with hearts of faith, not looking at ourselves, not looking at one another, but looking to him alone. So I thank you that you've given us this picture whereby every time we partake, we think of him, we remember him. So we commend ourselves to you and thank you. Thank you, rejoice for the gift of your Son, whose name I pray.